In October 2011, 2.5 years before the declaration of the Caliphate of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, I came to Cairo, the capital of Egypt and the largest city in the Arab world. That Cairo is also the most ill-mannered city in the Arab world is not in doubt. Whether one loves it or reviles it for its discourtesy is a matter of taste. Short-term visitors are cheated by cab drivers or browbeaten by tourist guides, and they board their flights home denouncing Cairo as a city of rogues. But Cairo's disobedience often breeds cleverness, artistic, social, literary, of a productive and admirable sort. 9 months before, it had made Cairo a crucible of political renewal, when the Tahrir Square Revolution ousted Hosni Mubarak and put in his place a provisional government led by the Muslim Brotherhood, and therefore far friendlier to religious politics. Now the country faced an uncertain fate, and all factions were plotting, with varying competence, to press their advantages. At twilight, after the sun is down and before the shop lights and street lamps switch on, Cairo becomes a city lit by headlights, and the dust and grit from the day's traffic hang visibly in the air. One such evening, at a political rally near Tahrir Square, I met Hesham El-Ashri, then in his early 50s, and accepted his invitation to a meal and a stroll. Hesham was a politically engaged Muslim. At the time, there was not yet an Islamic State to support, but he associated with other people and groups with clear jihadist leanings. He did not conceal his motive in talking to me. He wanted me to become a Muslim. We were downtown in an area near several government ministries and offices. Traffic interrupted our dialogue now and then, but occasionally we'd pass close to a sensitive building and security checkpoints would stop most cars from entering, so that we'd have a few minutes of pedestrian peace. Hesham filled the silences. His instruction began with bearing, poise, and dress. I had been hopping around to avoid tripping on chasms in the broken pavement. Hesham approved of my pace and noted that the Prophet Muhammad walked quickly as well. "The Prophet walked fast," he said, "as if he was jogging." He corrected me, politely, with literally every step. When the cars came back, they passed close, their slipstream tickling the hairs on my forearm and dusting us with carbon. "Walk this way," he said, taking my left arm with his right arm and putting himself, chivalrously, between me and the traffic. Hesham said, "The Prophet said to touch other people with your right hand to keep what is good on your right." Hesham explained the virtue of elegant footsteps, particularly for women, of hair kept short on certain parts of the face and body and allowed to grow jungly elsewhere, of gentle language for both men and women, and abstention from gutter-snipe dialects of Arabic in favor of the baroque and complex language of classical Arabic and the Quran. I felt myself straightening my back and tongue under his tutelage. He could be kind and insulting in the same sentence. "With Islam, there's a way for everything," he told me, "a way to pick one's teeth with a miswak, a gingery-tasting stick, a way to dress in loose trousers that stop mid-calf, exposing the ankles, a way to eat and drink. Without Islam, you're like an animal, just making decisions based on instinct and ruled by base pleasures." "Worse than an animal," another jihadist later told me. "An animal has to obey Allah. It has no soul, no will. You can disobey, you can be worse." Hesham assured me that God would be patient. "If you become a Muslim tonight," he said, "you'll be a baby Muslim. Just as a child learns to walk by pulling himself up, staggering and tumbling, I would be expected to falter and misstep at first. But he promised I would soon glide through the world with righteous aplomb. I would float 3 inches above the filth of the sidewalks and the decay of the mortal world, in it but no longer of it." The Sheikh Henry Higgins routine, offering an extreme makeover of my soul, had a political purpose as well as a personal one. When the Islamic State's predecessors in Iraq began recruiting globally over the next few years, they stressed a theme of metamorphosis through Islam. And I recognized from my experience with Hesham, which did not end with that gritty stroll, that he had been recruiting me to join more than his religion. He was recruiting me to a polity that did not yet exist, an Islamic State that might resemble, ultimately, the Islamic State to come.